I'm thankful to be here. There are two things that the Lord has shared with me about the things that He has prepared for those who love Him. And so I wanted to share both of those. One is what we heard about that veil. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews 6:19, it says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner." And so in the Old Testament, Old Covenant, they had a veil into, you know, separated God, most holy place. And only the high priest could go there once a year. He could go in there once a year, be in the presence of God, and then come back out. But when Jesus died, He didn't die just for my sins, but also when He died, it says that He tore the veil. And then this veil that was there, it says it tore from top to bottom. It just tore. And we heard how it got tore. "Not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours." And there was a big price that He had to pay for this veil to be torn. He was forsaken by the Father, taking the penalty of my sins. All, and one of the benefits is this torn veil. And for me, now that this veil has been torn, this is a privilege now. He paid a heavy price for that veil to be torn. But now I have the privilege to go and be in the presence of God all the time. I don't have to wait once a year and then go into God's presence. No, I can be in God's presence all the time. And I wanted to see how this was to me practically. To me practically, the way I've seen it be in my life is that, yes, Lord, I'm sharing right now. I want You to be with me right now as I share God's word on a Sunday or a Wednesday. I want You to be with me. But then at home now, do I have that desire? And it's been that, like it says, I enter into the veil. I'm starting to taste that in my home life, when I'm with my wife and I'm talking, that, Lord, I want You to be here in Your presence. I want to talk in my workplace. I want to be in Your presence as I speak in my workplace. Everywhere. This is a great privilege that You have done. You paid a heavy price for me to be in Your presence all the time. So unlike the Old Testament where on a Sunday I go into God's presence, then I say, okay, I'm coming out. Then next Sunday I go into God's presence. No, I want to be there all the time. I want to be there, and that, the way it's manifested is that in my relationship with my wife, my children, and the wonderful privilege is when Jesus tore the veil, that privilege was for all of God's children. Every one of us who has asked God to forgive us our sins, the other promises that we could be in His presence all the time. In the Living Bible, it says, Luke 1:19, it says, Gabriel said, "I am one who stands in the very presence of God." And while I'm not there yet, that's what I want to have. I want to have a life where I'm not having a life where I have to go in and out of the veil like those high priests had to. I want to be there always. And like it says, that anchor, I want to throw that anchor inside so that it's there always in the presence of God. The second promise that God has given is in relation to the church. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah 24. Verse 6, it talks about, "I will bring them again," talking about the remnant, "and into this land. I'll build them up, not overthrow them, and plant them." And in verse 7, it says, "I will give them a heart to know me." We know in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, it says that He'll take our stony heart with respect to salvation and give us a heart of flesh. With respect to the church, He says, "I will give a heart that they will know me." And so, as I was thinking about that expression, you may have heard that song, "All That Thrills My Soul Is Jesus." All that thrills my soul is Jesus. I was thinking about, Lord, I'm talking about all that thrills my soul. What about you, Lord? What thrills your soul? What's the things that thrills your heart? And so as I was looking at the scriptures and saying, Lord, show me, Lord, those things that thrill your heart. Yes, it's good that my heart is thrilled by you, but what are the things that are thrilling your heart? And as he was sharing, as I was thinking about that, one thing in particular that I wanted to share on was in Luke 22, verse 15. You can turn there to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 15. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And I was thinking that that's one of the things that thrills the heart of Jesus. He wanted to have this Passover. He wanted to break bread with these people. And when it says you, this desire to eat this Passover with you, I was thinking, who's this you? It was those 11 disciples. Those 11 disciples. There were so many others that followed him, but when he had this great desire to break bread, it was with those 11 people alone that he wanted to break bread. And he says, and I was thinking about who are these 11 people. It says in verse 28, you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And as I was thinking about that and how Jesus is picturing this church of 11, those who stood by me with my trials. It says in verse 24, and there arose a dispute among them as to which of them was regarded to be the greatest. In Jesus' eyes, even though they were discussing all these things, once he passes away, who's going to be the greatest? He said, you're the ones who've been with me through my trials. I'm going to break bread with you. And I was thinking about that. The church I attend, we're not perfect. We're not a perfect people, but my heart, this is the church of God. This is his bride. It's precious to me. This church is precious to me. And so Jesus also, even though he saw all of these small things, the church was precious to him. In 2 Peter, in 1 Peter 2, he says there in 1 Peter 2, it talks about him being a precious living stone. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and coming to him as a living stone that has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You are also living stones being built up. And so as I think God is bringing all these different living stones, Jesus being the precious cornerstone. For me, I've seen Jesus to be precious, and I've seen the other living stones that he has brought to be precious as well. Also, talking about these 11, when Jesus prayed, it says in John 17, verse 9, I don't ask on behalf of the world. I ask on behalf of these that the Father has given me. And I was thinking, the Lord, on this time on earth, he had so many people that he had ministered to. But his intense love and care was with those 11. He would do everything for him. He says, I lay down my life for my friends. It was such an intensity of love. Again, that when he was praying for them to be one, united, he didn't pray for everybody. In John 17, it says, John 17, verse 22, as he's continuing to pray there, he says, John 17, 22, it says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one, just as we are one. And when I was thinking about being one with my brothers and sisters in the church, it's not easy. There is a price that we have to pay in order to have that oneness. It did not come easy. Even for Jesus, it says in Ephesians 2:16, He made them into one body through the cross. 2:16, Ephesians 2:16, it says that he brought them both into one body to God through the cross. And I see that's the way. There's going to be a cross that's going to come to me when I interact with my brothers, when there's something of a difference, and then there's a cross I bear. But the reason I bear it is because it's precious. It's precious not only to me, but it's precious to the Lord. He looks and he says, I desire greatly. This thrills my heart to fellowship and break bread with you, leaven. Also, the other thing that I, even though Jesus had opportunity to meet with many people, it says in John 18:2 that there's a garden, and in this garden he would meet with his disciples often. And I think, Lord, you have so many other people that are following you, the crowds and everything, but despite that, you invested your love and affection on these 11 people. And that's what I see in the church as well. Lord, this is the thing that's on your heart, Lord. I want that to be in my heart, Lord. It's something that you've prepared for those who love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've prepared a family of God for me in the church. And it goes on, and after they break bread, Jesus says, turn with me to Matthew 26. After breaking bread with these 11 that he's invested in, he's poured out his heart towards, verse 29. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. And I see that Jesus is saying, I want to drink this wine. I want to drink this wine with you. That's something that's precious to him, and he's longing for that. And I say, okay, Lord, I want to bring some wine to you. I want to bring it. And I was thinking, it's not a wineskin, but I was bringing this wine to the Lord. The Lord's saying, I'm thirsty. Give me some new wine. I bring it to him, and I think how sorrowful I would be if I, as I was running there, the new wine all burst and it flowed out. So I'll be disappointed. Or even if this wineskin had holes in it and he could not drink all of what was in there. And I see that in the body of Christ, as God is building the church, I say, Lord, I want to do it exactly as you've shown us, Lord, in your scriptures. I want to do it exactly, Lord. Every drop of this wine, I want you to be able to relish it. It's precious to you, Lord. Not a single drop I want it to go waste because I've done something carelessly or half-heartedness. No, Lord, every single drop of this precious wine, I want you to be able to enjoy because it's precious to you, Lord. And I believe that one day when we stand before him, we can give him this wine. And I was thinking about Noah, if there's a small hole in the boat, and he said, oh, that's just a small hole, it's not a big thing. What would have happened to that ark? No, he took it seriously. He wanted to make sure every single thing was done per plan. For us also, being members of the body of Christ, we want to take this delicately and carefully that we don't miss out on anything that God has planned. And so, first thing is, I want to be in the Lord's presence all the time. And that's a privilege for each and every one of us in the body of Christ. And secondly, those of us, we want to see what's thrilling the Lord's heart, which is his body. And it's a precious thing. And I've tasted it. I see the glory in the midst of the church. And I want to go there and be a part of it. Amen.
Sometimes you hear one thing in a meeting. For each of us, it may be different. And this struck me as I was hearing now, that when Jesus went to Gethsemane, it says in John 18:2, he met with his disciples there often. You can read it so many times and you don't even notice it. Often. I remember when CFC started, Ian and I would meet together often. For many hours, Jesus met with his disciples often. Yeah, there was a world in need, but that they can wait. The disciples meet often. And if you want to build a church wherever you are, there must be a core group, especially the elders, who must meet often. You do that,
God will forge a unity among you that will ultimately flower and become the church. But if there are other priorities, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, well, I really feel, and I think Ian will testify to that, in the early days, the thing that God did was, we didn't plan it, we just come together and we'd spend hours together sharing, forge the unity between us and build the church. I recommend that to all of you. If you want to know more about it, go and talk to Ian, he'll tell you. As you can see, Ajay is an expert at using things to demonstrate something. I want to show you a video. The ones here, thank you. Just watch this video. We haven't tested it out, but hope you can see it.
My earthen vessel here. Can you all see it? This earthen vessel. And so, this earthen vessel is there and the treasure is inside it. And one thing, we all have this earthen vessel, and all of us can, one of two things. One, we can preserve this earthen vessel. We can say, okay, this is my earthen vessel. I'm going to keep it safe. I'm not going to let anything come and hurt this earthen vessel of mine. If you come against this earthen vessel, I'm going to do everything I can to protect this earthen vessel. The only thing is, if the earthen vessel is left untouched, the treasure inside, it's going to stay in there. Read with me verse 8, 2 Corinthians verse 8. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our body. So, as I look at this, God is showing me that the outer man, it's going to be afflicted, it's going to be perplexed, it's going to be persecuted, it's going to be struck down. And Paul is saying, you know what, we carry about this dying of Jesus every day, we're caring about it. This is what happens to us. And I was thinking about how this plays out in our lives. And if we think of afflictions, we're tempted to be jealous of one another. That's an affliction, right? That's an affliction that comes to us. We're tempted. I see another brother and that brother's getting honored. What comes inside my heart? Jealousy, right? One, I can preserve my earthen vessel and keep it from being hurt. Or I could say, you know what? I'm not going to be jealous of this brother. I'm going to break this earthen vessel here and die to myself here, carrying the dying of Jesus. And then there might be two sisters. One sister is like jealous of another sister for something. And they can preserve it and say, you know what, I'm going to stay with this jealousy. I'm going to be jealous of them because they do this thing this way or that thing. I'm going to preserve my earthen vessel. Or else that sister can say, no, I'm going to go into the ground and die and I'm not going to be jealous. God has kept me and this sister in the same body. If one member is honored, I'm going to rejoice with that member. Another hole goes into that earthen vessel. And then, maybe we're tempted to be angry. And I'm angry and I'm going to stay angry. I'm not going to give in to that other person. That other person's wrong and they're going to be wrong and I'm going to be angry with them. Or I could say, you know what, I'm going to be a broken man. Yes, there's something wrong in me and something wrong in that person, but I'm going to give in to it. I'm going to let that break this earthen vessel. This outer man is going to get hurt. I don't want to forgive that man. That person's done so much harm to me. I'm not going to forgive them. Or I could say, no, I'm not going to let this flesh rule over me. I'm going to go and ask them for forgiveness. Yeah, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to break this outer man. I'm going around. It could be lust. Am I going to give in to lust, or am I going to... No, I'm not going to give in to lust. I'm going to break this outer man. Receiving correction. Am I going to be offended if somebody corrects me? Oh, I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to break this outer man. Perplexed. I'm hearing of all these things and I'm fearful. What should I do? Am I going to give in to that fear? If I am, then I'm going to preserve my outer man. But I say, no, I'm not going to give in to fear. I'm going to say that the Lord's on my side. He's going to give me courage through this anxiety for tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen to tomorrow. But God's saying, no, don't worry about tomorrow. Cast your cares on me. And you can see how this vessel, depression, I'm not going to give in to depression. I'm not going to be depressed. God is my greatest encourager. He's going to encourage me. There's nothing to be depressed about. Discouragement. God has forgiven me my sins. He's a father to me. There's no reason for me to be discouraged at this time. And so you can see this affliction, persecution, perplexion, being struck down, all of that. What is it doing for me? And if you look at this and you say, oh, you know what, this is a hard thing. All I see is a breaking and a breaking and a breaking and a breaking. I'm going through these trials and all of this. All that I get in return is this breaking and brokenness. Then we can get discouraged. But Paul says, read with me the first verse of chapter 4. What does it say? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we do not lose heart. Why haven't we lost heart? And this is what I see is the reason we don't lose heart. You see that? Can you see this? The treasure inside, this life inside, would have always been hidden if my outer life was preserved. If I went through trials and I preserved my outer life, that outer man,
I want you to know that Ajay never told me to show that. He's the one most surprised to see it. But I saw that in the RLCF one Sunday, and I said, boy, that's a good illustration that even the children will remember. The breaking of the outward man and the light inside shines through how much? To the extent to which you allow yourself to be broken. Why does it shine more in some people and less in others? The number of holes through which the light came, it depended on how many places they allowed themselves to die. All of us are not manifesting the same degree of light. The glory inside is not shining out to the same extent in everyone. It all depends on how you have lived in past years, how much you have allowed the Lord in different situations to go, enable you to go the way of the cross and to die. And each death breaks the earthen vessel a little more, and the more the light shines out. I hope we will not forget that lesson. Practical terms. Show you this verse, 2 Corinthians 4, which was illustrated there. We have this treasure, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in an earthen vessel, 7, verse 7. He's talking about light, verse 6, shining out of the darkness. That light came into us one day when God said, let there be light. It came inside. The light of the knowledge of God, verse 6, and the glory of God in the face of Christ. But it is in an earthen vessel. And then they're afflicted, crushed, verse 8, perplexed, despairing, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down,
always, in some way or the other, dying, 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 dying.
And what is the result? The treasure shines out from within to the measure in which you allow that dying to take place in your life. May we never forget that. This is the message CFC has preached for 43 years. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you will imprint deeply on our hearts truths that we have heard in this session, that we'll never forget it. It will produce fruit in us for eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.